World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Monday morning, and thanks for being hooked and getting coming joining us today. You know, crazy stuff going on. If I could show you my folks, I get up really early. Like, I've been up a couple hours already, and I do that because I get up because I want to do show prep. And by show prep, I don't want to just come in here and not have. I like to open it up and have a discussion and all that kind of stuff. But if you guys don't say anything, then I got to do something for an hour. So I do show prep every morning. And I try to find things that I think that are really kind of edgy, but yet really, really indicative of where we are. Because you do know this. I'll show you maybe some of this later, how controlled the media is. And so we're only getting a little bit of what's going on. Hey, Johnny, pull that back up there real quick. Look at that, folks. The untold truth about ivermectin. Dr. Paul, look at this. Folks, this isn't even open. This isn't even open for debate anymore. Remember, what's our motto here? Who told you that? Why should you believe them? So truth about ivermectin. Ivermectin was FDA approved for human use in 1987. Not just for livestock, but for people, and it worked. And they knew it was the antidote. They knew it, and they hit it. Didn't they, Paul? They knew ivermectin could impact COVID, and they hit it. They hit it from us. I don't want to get bogged down here. Hang on. A medical breakthrough ignored. Ivermectin blocks spike protein invasion. It halts replication of the C virus in the bloodstream. It reverses vaccine injury. And it could have saved millions in both lives and money. More than just antiviral, it rebuilds nerves. It restores muscle, thrombotic health, your heart muscle. It prevents neurodegeneration. In other words, your nerves, it rebuilds them, protects against thrombotic disease, death, heals autoimmune disorders, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, Crohn's, psoriasis, detoxifies the damage they injected into us. Could this have been the cure? Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, MS? The cure was here. It buried it. Ivermectin is more than a drug. It's a silenced revolution in medicine. The truth must be known. Because, folks, if they heal you, then you don't need those drugs every month. You don't have to go to the doctor every month. Real quickly, Paul, what do you think? Thumbs up on that?
Yeah, Coach. But it wasn't just that. It was everything we used, Coach. Right. That it shows steroids that we used, budesonone, yep. Vitamin C, high dose, chlorine dioxide, folks. I'm telling you, man, they've been censoring these cures for a long time, and that thing cures malaria, folks. I mean, I can't believe how much we're bought in.
It would be safe to say that ivermectin is now okay. I tried to share with somebody yesterday, and they looked at me like I was freaking crazy. And now it is okay. It's now FDA approved. Is it not, Paul? After they killed millions and millions and millions of people, now they said, "Well, maybe you can go ahead and use that. Maybe you can."
You can get it without a. You can get it without a prescription.
Oh my goodness! Crazy. I got a lot to go at today. I saw this. I got over here on my list 17 different things we could talk about. So bear with me, okay? It's a weekend. I got a lot of stuff. You know what I'm holding here? I know what I'm holding here? $76. That's a dollar. So it's $76. And it's going to go higher. I don't know if you saw this. Let me pull it up. Number two, folks. Look, I don't get any money. I'm not trying to sell you anything. Pull up number two. No, is that what I did? No. Three, one, two. China silver embargo. That's what I want you to put up there. China silver embargo. It's probably not your fault, Johnny. Did you guys know this today? China has stopped shipping silver. I don't know if you guys heard that. China has an embargo on silver. They are no longer allowing silver to leave China. Why would that be, I wonder? Why would that be? Because silver is involved in everything. And for those of you out there worried, said, listen, it's too late. I'm too late, coach. It used to be 17, and now it's 75. It's too late. Nobody knows about silver. If you're watching this show, you know about silver. Go get some. Go to the pawn shop. Go get some silver, because there's a huge financial shift that's coming in front of us. I know Jeff wants to talk about this. I don't want to get bogged down on silver, okay? I'm just mentioning that. Go ahead, Jeff, quickly.
Just real quick, Saturday morning, it was 6102. This morning, it's 6410.
6410 in the United States. It's 78 outside the United States. Boom. Okay, cool. Let me see here. God, I got so much stuff. Where do I start? Rob Reiner. That's bad, huh? You know, most of you know that me, that number six, pull that up there. Hey, friends, we got to check our heart. Meathead. Don't I have that? That's not Meathead. Number six, Rob Reiner and his wife, Michelle, were killed by their own son. Did you guys see that this morning? Meathead. And we would all agree with this, right? That Meathead was one of the most wicked, in my opinion, one of the most wicked, wicked, far left-leaning guys that could ever come down the highway, right?
Wow, coach.
Now he's in eternity. Apart from Christ, nobody should be dancing on his grave and rejoicing over that. This is deep, deep, deep. And if you go down through this and you follow this out, you know what to find out? Oh yeah. His son was transitioning.
Wow, coach.
Huh? He was transitioning. And they found him stabbed. Can you imagine that? Stabbed. Son, 32 years old, stabbed his mom and dad to death.
That's horror, coach.
That's the influence of the darkness that we're all dealing with, right, folks? So again, we shouldn't rejoice in it. We shouldn't rejoice in it. There's a devil loose, folks. There's a devil loose, and it's popping up in more ways than we can even understand. We all have to understand that the answer to the problems that we have are spiritual. They're not political. It's not Republicans. It's not any of that. Stay with me. I got a thousand things I want to show you today. I pull up Tina Peters. I want to talk about Tina, huh? This is a biggie, folks. This is a biggie. It's number one, John. It's not even number, John, at the very top. Tina Peters. I don't know how close you guys follow this. Tina Peters is in jail. She's been in jail for quite a while. And she's nothing more than a clerk in Denver who has records of the cheating that took place in the 2000 election. She saved all of it. She wasn't, right? I don't know if you know this. They destroyed information all across America after the election, right? She saved it. And she wouldn't tell them where she saved it. And so they threw her in jail. And she's in jail languishing for her life. If Tina Peters gets out, she's going to expose the whole thing. They can't let her out. President Trump pardoned her. And they still will not let her out. Now, they will not let her out because they said, well, her crimes are in Colorado. They're not federal crimes. She is a gold star mother. Does anybody know what's a gold star mother? Anybody? Betty, you're smarter than me. What's a gold star mother, Betty?
Her son was killed in the military.
Her son laid down his life for this country. And they had locked her. They have locked her in jail. Unbelievable. I don't know if you saw this or not. President Trump said today, by the end of the week, they're going to release. They have it all. All the fraud in the 2020 election, they have it all. And they're going to expose it. And she has it all. That's why they won't let her out. So isn't that something? So now we're seeing states can resist feds, which is you can. That's good that you can. But see, you don't hear the left screaming and hollering about that, do you? You don't hear the left screaming and hollering about Trump's overreach there? No. They're okay with that, see? So we have to understand exactly what it is that we're dealing with. Boy. Anybody for the good of the group before I dive in? I got some good stuff. It is a Monday. I know you guys got some good stuff too. Anybody? Speak now, forever, forever hold your peace. Let's continue to pray for the release of Tina Peters. She's got the goods, man. They have no reason why she is around. She broke no law. They have no reason why she's in jail. None. No reason. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, also, I-3 Atlas is supposed to hit the scene on the 19th, same day as the Epstein files are released, as a distraction away from the Epstein files, most likely, right?
Well, there's all kinds of distractions that are going to come out, aren't you, Ray? I got so much to say. Hey, I want to say this before I go any further. I just want everybody out there to know how much I love my wife. And I think I told her that about 20 times this morning. And, you know, that poor thing has to be married to me. And she catches this, and she's solid as a rock. And I just boom to Michelle. Okay, let me jump into some stuff here that's really, really. Pull up number 13. I don't know why I want to start there other than I want to start with number 13. Pull it up there. Anybody out there wonder? When's something going to happen? When is somebody going to be arrested? What the hell's going on? I don't even know who this dude is, but I give him an amen. Go ahead.
For the first time in 28 years, the mayor of Miami gets elected and it's a Democrat. And people are like, where are the Republicans? Why didn't they show up? Why would they show up, bro? Where's the Epstein list? Where is the accountability for COVID? And the scam that happened to all Americans, where the big corporations got bigger and the mom and pop shops had to close, where they literally shut down the truth about medications that were helping people and watched them die. What about justice for the people that were mandatorily required to get the vaccine? They got it, and now they're having heart issues because they're DMing me all the time. Some of them 1 foot in the grave. Where's the accountability for the freaking Russiagate scandal, where the actual president of the United States plotted and told the mainstream media to go along with it while they lied to everybody and tried to subvert the will of the American public by making everybody think that Trump was involved with Russia? Where's the accountability? I'm glad Trump sealed the border, but we're having slower deportation rates than Obama did. And at this pace, it's not going to put a dent in it. How's your guys' grocery bills, by the way? Way lower? Mine aren't. My gas is down 40 cents. Neat. Everything else, still shit. Now, it's only been a year, Ross. You got to give these things time. We don't have any time, bro. Do you know how fast the Democrats move when they're actually in power to flush everything down? They don't ask permission before they implode the country. They ask forgiveness. But except they don't actually ask for forgiveness because nobody even tells them anything about it because none of them are being held accountable, bro. They just seem to magically get away with it. Where's the accountability? Why would Republicans show up to vote? They should, because the last thing we want is to see what's going to happen if they don't. But it's starting to feel like the two wings of the same bird thing. Like, bro, you shot all the people that we like. Rand Paul, Thomas Massie, Marjorie Taylor Greene. These people at least said stuff that we're thinking. And Trump hates them to death and loves Lindsey Graham? What? The dude who nonstop desires to go to war? It's hard to care about politics. The only thing I can tell people to do is to get really proficient at business and get proficient at using social media for business, because at least you can make progress in this category. And I'd love to help you do it. I take people by the hand and show them how to become successful.
Got it. Where is it? Where do you have any idea of the encouragement? Look, I know the wheels of justice turn slowly. How long has Donald Trump been president? Anybody know? He was elected January 20th. What is today? He's been president almost a year. Nobody arrested. How long did it take him to arrest Bill Dunphy? He hadn't even done anything. How long did it take to go get him? How long did it take to fill up the gulags with innocent men? They didn't care. They went out, they charged him and threw him in jail. Well, let's throw them in jail and then see if we can prove it later on. Just a little bit of what's good for the goose is good for the gander. We're not asking a whole lot here, are we? Huh? See, I don't think we understand the depth, again, of the evil. And I would tell you this. I think, I don't know who Trump's loyal to. But I can tell you this, there's some people around him that aren't loyal to him. Just like the last time. I got some more good stuff to throw up here. Okay, Hang on. You guys forget this? Pull up number nine. Number nine. You guys forget this? Did you guys forget this? Say, I don't know, Coach. Play it and I'll tell you. Did you forget this? Go ahead and play it.
I'd like to understand the full extent to which the Biden-Harris Justice Department weaponized federal law enforcement. What do you think the committee will find out?
I think it was the worst weaponization of a political opponent in the history of the world, let alone this country. And I hope that everybody's, you know, they're involved in it. I'm not. I'm the one that had to suffer through it and ultimately win. But what they did was criminal. Deranged Jack Smith, in my opinion, is a criminal. And I noticed his interviewer was, I think that was Weissman. And I hope they're going to look into Weissman, too. Weissman's a bad guy. And he had somebody in Lisa, who was his puppet, worked in the office really as the top person. And I think that she should be looked at very strongly. There was tremendous criminal activity having to do. If we don't have fair elections in this country, we're not going to have a country. And I've said it from the beginning, fair elections and borders. And we need also fair press, because if you don't have fair press, it's very tough. And we've got the strongest border of anybody. Nobody has a border. We have a border where the numbers just came out again. You saw zero people came in illegally. Now, we do take people into our country legally, but zero people. But, you know, you're talking about a different subject. You're talking about political crime. They have committed massive political crime. I hope they're looking at Shifty Schiff. I hope they're looking at all these people. And I'm allowed to find out. I'm allowed to, you know, I'm in theory the chief law enforcement officer. But I have a very good, talented group. This is about something else. But I hope they're looking at political crime, because there's never been so much political crime against a political opponent as what I had to go through. They raided my house in Florida. It was an illegal raid. I have a lawsuit that was doing very well. And when I became president, I said, I'm sort of suing myself. I don't know. How do you settle the lawsuit? I'll say, give me X dollars, right? And I don't know what to do with the lawsuit. It's a great lawsuit. And now I won. It sort of looks bad. I'm suing myself, right? So I don't know. But that was a lawsuit that was very strong, very powerful. They raided illegally my house in Florida, Mar-a-Lago. They went through the drawers of my young son. They went through all of the cabinets and drawers of the first lady. She walked in. She said, wow, what happened? Because she's very meticulous. And this wasn't so meticulous as she looked into the drawers and she saw everything a mess. What they did against a person that just got out of office. And then you look at these corrupt people. You look at Hunter Biden. You look at the signature. As an example, the EuroPen. I just signed so many different things. An admiral, a four-star general. I'm signing them left and right, the commissions. And by the way, I want to compliment John Thune. And also Mike, our great speaker. But John Thune, all of a sudden I'm getting these things by the hundreds. I was getting one every 2 weeks. It would have been 4 years before you got them in more. You would have had some that didn't even get in, all because of Democrat obstruction. So John Thune did a great job. I must have signed 200 into the administration. We're just about caught up. It's amazing. And so compliments to John. He had to do some things that were very tough to do.
So what's the point? I just played that because we forget, don't we? We forget. And now they're saying, well, if he locks up somebody, why, he's just getting revenge. No. Good for the goose, good for the gander, right? It's unbelievable the times that we live in and stuff that's going on around. It's just absolutely unbelievable. Hang on, Martin. I'll get something else coming up here. Now, I want to encourage you, though. Bring up number three, because we have forgotten about number three. Anybody remember the Brunson brothers? Anybody remember the lawsuit the Brunson brothers filed? December 19th. When is that? 4 days from today. Go ahead and play that. December 19th could be the day the world changes forever. We'll see. We'll see.
There's a fight that has been going on in numerous courts, including the Supreme Court, for over 2 years now that can change our country overnight. It's been on the back channels for years, but some new buzz has been going around. The case is known as Brunson versus Alma S. Adams et al. And has the potential to significantly reshape the world landscape by addressing concerns about constitutional adherence and accountability. The case focuses on whether lawmakers can be held responsible for actions that may have violated their oaths to protect the Constitution by refusing to pause the certification of the 2020 election at the urging of over 154 members of Congress. More simply put,
Hang on. 150 back to back during the election, 154 members of Congress wanted the election investigated, right? They didn't do it. The Brunson brothers have filed a lawsuit saying they didn't do their duty, and keep going. That's what it's about.
The Supreme Court deciding that our politicians have been criminally negligent for not doing their jobs. Moreover, Brunson is attempting to hold Supreme Court justices liable if they don't do their job by upholding the Constitution. It's really ingenious, and the Supreme Court could be between a rock and a hard place. Three brothers, Rayland, Loy, and Darren Brunson, are amazing. Like pit bulls on a slab of meat, they don't come up for air, filing case after case in multiple jurisdictions that media won't tell you about. There are two main cases and related cases that we are going to look at in this video.
They swore an oath and they didn't abide by the oath. That's the heart of the Brunson case. And by the way, I don't know if you know this, most of them were never sworn in. Do you understand that? They never put their hand on a Bible and swore an oath in their office. This is all coming together. But here, right, you talk about the hen garden, a chicken garden, the hen house, or the rooster garden, the hen house, right? Is the court going to rule against? Oh, this is crazy times. Go ahead, Martin, and I got another one. Go ahead.
Thank you so much, Coach, for bringing up voter integrity federally. I have to take this moment, Coach. This is Busman for the Busman Report, where the truth will prevail. I am the spiritual advisor for our Ohio Republican candidate, Mr. Marcel Sturbridge, combat veteran, man of faith, great man of God to his family. We have to vote this man in Ohio. If you are in Ohio, please vote for Marcel Sturbridge, the man with the funny last name. He is all about this, Coach. He has actually sued, Coach, Montgomery County, Ohio, just like the Brunsons did in the state of Ohio, because they were not acting according to the law. So Marcel went ahead and did it on his own, and he won, Coach. I would love for you to meet Marcel Sturbridge.
Okay, Martin, Martin, a lot of people aren't here, aren't in Ohio. I get it. We'll talk about it later. A lot of people you're talking to are not Buckeyes.
Thanks, Coach.
Can't vote on that. Okay, now, hang on. Oh, we're going to get into it. We're going to get into it. Pull this one up for me, huh? Pull this one up. Number 8, how they lie to us. Wonder how they get away with this crap? How they lie to us. It's pretty good. Go ahead.
This is the playbook on almost every scandal that comes to light regarding Democrats. It's 4 steps. Step number 1, deny it's happening. There's nothing to see here. It's absolutely not happening. Scream the headlines from places like the New York Times. Once that becomes undeniable, that it might actually be happening, then you move to, no, that's a conspiracy, dismissal. It's a right-wing conspiracy theory. Then we move to the 3rd step. It might be happening. This is a literal internet meme that plays out again and again in the real world. And then finally, the 4th step, the step we just got to with Ezra Klein, the New York Times, and Gavin Newsom. It's happening and it's good. In other words, you'll take your medicine and you'll like it.
That is exactly right. You guys remember when they told us that illegals getting government-funded health care was a lie or a conspiracy theory? You guys remember that? But now, all of a sudden, it's a good thing.
As it relates to undoc healthcare, yeah, I'm proud of that because I believe in universal healthcare. You know, others may say it. I did it. First state in the country, regardless of pre-existing conditions, ability to pay, and regardless of your immigration status. I promised that. I promoted it. I ran 3 times.
Replay that.
Regardless of your immigration status.
You can take it off. You get what's going on? You get the 2-card Monty that they play against us, right? They fight it and fight it and fight it, and then they adopt it and explain that you're the bigot. You're the one that did it. You're hateful, right? And so that's why they continue to play this game. We can't figure out why nothing ever happens. I can't sit here today and why Barack Obama is not in jail is beyond me, folks. Why he's not been arrested? Why? Look, They raided Donald Trump's office. Why haven't they raided Obama's place yet, right? Oh, because there's evil things in high places that are going on. I'm going to show you some more of it. You ready? Still sitting down here? How about this one? No, that's not there. I got so many things up here. Where play 10? There it is, number 10. Judd, you listening out there? Are you listening out there? Hey, folks, I know we don't like this. Are the secret societies really in control? Are there really secret societies, and are they in control? Go and play this.
I had to become a Freemason, because you can't get involved in Satanism on the hardcore level without first being a Freemason. That was my official shrine portrait, which they took as part of my initiation. I was ready to become involved in hardcore Satanism. What did that mean? Well, that meant I had to sell my soul to the devil. I had to sign my name on the contract in blood. I had to sign my name in the black book. You gotta understand something. The satanic doctrine here is that hell is not what we believe it is, or what the Bible teaches it is. The satanic doctrine is that hell is this incredible party. It's like a nonstop, all-eternity orgy. So you're smoking dope, you're fornicating your brains out, you're listening to rock and roll through all eternity. And it's party hardy time. And before I could get onto the priesthood of Satanism, excuse me, I had to get 7 people to sell our souls to the devil. The other thing I had to do, and this might astonish some of you, is I had to become a Catholic priest. I had to go back to my original vocation, because you cannot be a satanic priest unless, first of all, you're a Catholic priest. And if that surprises you, I just suggest that you go and you read some of the medieval literature. You'll see that that is, in fact, the case. Masons are like homosexuals. They can't reproduce themselves naturally. They can only, they can only recruit. You know, think of that. That's the way with every cult. If you know someone who's a Mason, or if you yourself are a Mason, realize that when you kneel at the altar of Masonry as an entered apprentice and you take that oath, you are adopted into the family of Lucifer at that moment. Now, you don't probably know that. I did. But most people don't even know that. And as a result, if you're a Christian, mind you, there are pastors that are doing this. There are deacons that are doing this. There are countless Christian lay people that are doing this. You cannot serve two masters. And if you understood the profound relationship between witchcraft and Freemasonry, you would know what that cord, that cable tow meant, because they've got a rope around their neck. And what that means in witchcraft and the occult is that is a symbol of the umbilical cord of the mother goddess, the queen of heaven, linking her to her hidden child. So this guy has just been born again by the queen of hell, the consort of Lucifer. Every Mason has this happen to them. And they don't understand the dynamics, probably 99 out of 100, but they still go through it.
Oh, boo! Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, it's a weekend. I got so much stuff. I'm going to shut up. I'm going to let you come crawling in here. Anybody, come on in. Come on in.
Coach, will that link be in the show notes, yes. In the comments? Thank you, sir.
Yep. Oh, hang on, Paul, because you just popped up. This is unbelievable as well. Pull it up. I got so much. Number 7. This is a little bit off the topic. But this is important to me. And folks, just play about, what did I say? Where to start on this thing? Yeah, start at the 4-minute mark. Start at the 4-minute mark. And we're just going to watch a couple minutes. Folks. Oh, my goodness. You are what you eat. Go ahead.
Remember, cholesterol is made in the liver. LDL takes it and delivers it throughout the body. And HDL then takes the leftovers back to the liver for recycling. Okay, so the center of everything is the liver, right? So your life depends on a healthy, properly functioning liver. And what damages the liver? Well, we all know that alcohol does, right? And, you know, this is where people who don't drink think they're off the hook. Well, actually, no. I just made a video about this recently, and a lot of people didn't watch it, and this is why many people need to hear this. So I'll say this again, because you need to really get this in your head. The total amount of glucose circulating in the body of a healthy adult at any given time should be no more than 4 grams. That's 1 teaspoon of sugar. That's it. Anything above that leads to high blood sugar, which eventually is insulin resistance, metabolic disorder, and eventually kidney damage, heart attack, and death. So, yes, all that bread and pizza and pasta and crackers and ice cream and sodas and fruit juice and honey and pastries and cereal and granola bars and desserts and all those sweet high-carb snacks between meals, and yes, even mangoes and orange juice, all of that turns into sugar, lots and lots of sugar. And sugar feeds yeast. Candida takes that bread and orange juice and ferments it into ethanol inside the gut, otherwise known as alcohol. That's right. So even if you don't drink alcohol, you're making alcohol in your body with all those carbs. That ethanol is absorbed into the bloodstream just like alcohol from wine or beer. And even if the amount is small, chronic exposure, as in eating carbs every day, it goes into the portal vein, straight to the liver. The liver has to process and detoxify this alcohol, producing acetaldehyde, a toxic intermediate that promotes oxidative stress, lipid peroxidation, and inflammation. And what does chronic inflammation lead to? Big drugs.
The sugar's killing you. The sugar's killing us, folks. The sugar is killing us, right? Oh, my goodness. The stuff that we don't know. Come on in, Paul. Just as a tip of the cap to you before we did this. Oh, my goodness. They're telling us not to eat salt, and salt's good for us, and sugar ain't bad for us, and sugar's bad for us, and it's in everything. Go ahead, Paul.
There's so much that's bad for us, Coach, but I guess the worst thing that's bad for us is just, what do you tell what's true and lies, Coach? I'm going to post this. I think people remember when anthrax came out in all these letters during 9/11.
Yep.
Okay, does anybody know where they eventually found the source of that anthrax? It was the DOJ, Coach. Department of Justice. I just posted it. And this is what happened with COVID also, right? The DOJ was part of this COVID outbreak, right? That's who did it. So this guy sent this out so people would buy into the vaccines by sending out anthrax to politicians and everybody else, Coach. I mean, we live in a very sinister world, Coach.
Amen.
You're on a lot of tangents right now. The idea is the judges. I think that's actually the key, Coach. I do, Coach. They have immunity to do anything. The judge, in my case, after I was shot, was my EMT. He let me sit there for an hour and a half bleeding, dying.
Folks, get this. Paul got shot. The EMT that shows up to treat Paul ends up being his judge. Paul goes to court for
he's
the guy.
He's a judge. He didn't recuse himself yet, Coach. 18 months, and he has refused to recuse himself.
Well, he was part of the, help me out now, Paul. He was part of the group that shot you. And now he's going to be the judge.
Yeah. And he sit there and let me die until it got too crazy. And they said they had to call a helicopter, Coach.
Well, like Tina Peters, they just want her to die off too, don't they? They just want Tina Peters to die, right?
You know, it's that woman that's in prison right now. She's sicker than a dog.
That's right.
I mean, they threw me in jail and I couldn't even walk, Coach. I'm telling you, man, this is a sinister world we're living in.
So here's what I don't have it up here. Blessings, Paul. Donald Trump just yesterday, I don't know if you saw this or not, they have all the evidence on the elections, the stolen election. They have it all. The goods. Coming out this week, he says, we shall see. Now, friends, what are we going to do if there's absolute proof that the election is stolen? What are we going to do? That's a whole nother can of worms, isn't it? So for us to understand that guys in Washington, D.C., they're protecting their buddies. You really think Chuck Schumer doesn't like Lindsey Graham? I'll bet you they go out and get beers together, don't you suppose, right? Huh? They're on the same team. And so Lindsey comes out, and, oh, boy, he's fighting for us. And, oh, Schumer's over here. He's opposing them. Oh, come on, man. Come on, man. What George Carlin say? One big club and you ain't in it? So here's the good news. I get you, Mel. Get you, Joe. Just a sec. Here's the good news, folks. I said this last week. We're in a crucible. We're in a crucible right now. And where is the justice? We have to demand justice. Millions of people, millions died because they wouldn't let him take ivermectin. And now what? Oh, yeah, go ahead and take ivermectin. Ivermectin's really good. You mean nobody in the medical association knew that? Well, Sherry Tenpenny knew it. Paul Gosselin knew it. What did they do? Well, they took Sherry Tenpenny's license away. What did they do to Paul Gosselin? Well, they took his license away. He was saying ivermectin will help you. It'll be good. It'll help you. They said, oh, no, it's horse paste. Paul, if you don't stop that. Folks, are we making this up? Then they shot him. This war is so real. And as I said, it's a crucible. We don't know who's the good guys, and we don't know who the bad guys are. And the church can't figure it out. Oh, I'm all over the place this morning. Come on in, Mel. Hey, somebody yes, say, yes, hey, yes. Hang a second. Somebody say, Coach, this is good. We need this. Just so I feel better. I don't need one.
Thanks, Coach. Thanks, Coach.
Okay, good. That's all I need to know. Go ahead, Mel.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. So, you know, I beat the drum of, you know, two wings on the same bird a lot. Get down. But, you know, and, you know, Jack talks about the Overton window, and I think that we all understand what the Hegelian dialectic is. And if not, I just want to remind us, you know, we're given two choices. You know, one is an obvious bad choice and one is a pretend good choice. So a lot of times I get frustrated here because you say, oh, we should pick the pretend good choice and then try to reform it. I'm like, I think that we sometimes just have to take a step back and just see that, you know, maybe both of our choices that we're given are controlled choices. And then we have to do about it.
And I couldn't agree more. But you know where I'm going to come back to? Always the same thing here at Coach Dave Live. The whole creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of God's people. It's all in the hands of the church, all of it.
One more thing, Coach, if I can. You know, I think it's demoralizing, too, because, you know, we keep thinking that we're going to somehow get justice, and they keep not giving us justice, which is demoralizing, which then kind of wears us all down. So, I mean, if you know, I think I've just been burned too many times to keep this hopium going that we think that somehow there's going to be justice. There hasn't been justice for decades. I've been watching. I've been active. It's just never come. So then what do we do about it?
Well, it's by design, isn't it? It's by design. Bill Dunphy spent, hey, Jeff, how long was he in prison? Bill Dunphy was in prison for 9 months? I think 9 months.
4 months.
4 months? He's in prison 4 months. For what? For what? They locked him up. They locked him up. Waited a long time. Gave him a trial. And said, oh, well, all right. You're free. We'll pardon you. Right? No justice, folks. No justice. These guys demand justice. Joe Allen.
Well, here's a difference of today when they're forcing a shot on you. In 1981, excuse me, anthrax came out in 1981. 1984, they came out with a shot for the military. And they said you could take it or not take it. They didn't force it on you.
Right.
Enough said.
But now, hey, well, now they're saying that you didn't have to take the jab. They just kind of didn't. We all know what's going on, right? We all know what's going on. Betty.
Well, I know I had to take the jab. I had 7 anthrax shots, and they kept threatening me, you know, and I kept fighting them. So I just believed them. I thought, well, they know what they're doing. Boy, was I wrong.
Amen. Amen. Now, here again, Coach Dave, I'll get right with you, Martin. Here, look, my wife bangs me on the head all the time. Honey, you say the same thing over and over. Folks, you cannot expect unrighteous men to deal righteously.
Boom.
Let me say that again. If you're expecting unrighteous men to deal righteously, we're so lost. And for you right now, for $30 a head, how many of you could name for me one uncompromising, righteous person in government?
Marcel Sturbridge. Sorry, Coach, I got to say that.
Well, I don't know why. He's not even in government yet.
Yes, he is on the local level, sir, on the Montgomery County level. Right. He hasn't made it to state yet. Yes, sir. Okay. I've seen it. I've watched it. Thanks.
Okay, sir, you're distracting me. You're distracting me.
I answered your question, sir.
Is it Mitch McConnell? Is it Harry Reid? I mean, who are these godly men? Is it Lindsey Graham? And by the way, does the church ever stand in the pulpit and say, vote for this guy, he's righteous? Don't vote for this guy, he's not righteous? Did they ever do that? Hey, Glenn, can righteous men get elected? Can righteous men get the approval of the Central Committee? Angie, can righteous men and women get the approval of the Central Committee? Can they? No. Why?
Not usually.
Why, Glenn? Why do you think that is?
They don't go along with the agenda of the party.
The party agenda.
They buck the agenda.
So the Republican Party agenda isn't Christian. Would that be safe to say?
For the most part, yeah.
And so as a result, what do they give us? They give us non-Christian men, and we expect them to move Christian. I mean, folks, come on, man. Come on.
Boom.
Jack, come on in.
Yep. I couldn't help but think about what you say every day. On Saturday, we had a Republican committee meeting, and at the end, one of the representatives wanted us to give us a little bit of detail. And all I could think of, who told you that, and why do you believe it?
That's right.
It was a classic federalist anti-federalist conversation, because he was knocking tactical civics and Dr. Frank, and he's a good guy. He's a good representative, but it was, who told you that, and why do you believe it? Because he believes top down, and the reality is bottom up. And so all I could think of was, who told you that, and why do you believe it? Even though you read it as part of the Constitution, and it gave us a sheet on the laws about elections. Okay, if that's the case, then why don't you change this and make it work?
Jack, you're a little bit choppy. We got some of that. We didn't get all of that. I'm sorry, kid. So you ready? Huh? How about this one? How about pull up number four? Pull up number four. Hang on. I'm dealing right now today with a conversation back and forth on what? On the insurrection. The insurrection. Folks, you tell a lie long enough and loud enough, and it becomes fact. The average person you go to church with believes it was an insurrection. You know that, don't you? They still believe that. So I just happened to dig this out from Tucker Carlson. Just a reminder of what really happened on January 6th. By the way, what's the narrative? What do they call January? Folks, what does the news call January 6th? An insurrection. What do the people you work with call it? An insurrection. What do the people you go to church with call it? An insurrection. What do the pastors in the pulpits talk about? How wrong the insurrection was. So they plan a theme, they plan a story, they repeat it over and over and over again, and it becomes a truth. Just a reminder for you is what really happened on January 6th. Go ahead.
These are the pictures you've seen of January 6th. They're familiar because they've been playing on a loop on every media outlet in America for the last 2 years. There's a reason for that. But it turns out there's quite a bit of video you haven't seen. And that video tells a very different story about what happened on January 6th. More than 40,000 hours of surveillance footage from in and around the Capitol have been withheld from the public. And once you see the video, you'll understand why.
Read that. Did you hear what he said? 40,000 hours of video withheld. Why? Because it shows that the narrative is created. It's a lie. Go ahead.
The video record does not support the claim that January 6th was an insurrection. In fact, it demolishes that claim. And that's exactly why the Democratic Party and its allies in the media prevented you from seeing it. Preach the By controlling the images you were allowed to view from January 6th, they controlled how the public understood that day. They could lie about what happened, and you would never know the difference. Those lies had a purpose. They created a pretext for a federal crackdown on opponents of the Uniparty in Washington.
Our office wanted to ensure that there was shock and awe, that we could charge as many people as possible.
The first thing you notice from viewing the full video record of January 6th is just how many people entered the Capitol building that day. Hundreds and hundreds of people, possibly thousands, over the course of about 2 hours. The crowd was enormous. A small percentage of them were hooligans. They committed vandalism. You've seen their pictures again and again. But the overwhelming majority weren't. They were peaceful. They were orderly and meek. These were not insurrectionists. They were sightseers. Footage from inside the Capitol overturns the story you've heard about January 6th. Protesters queue up in neat little lines. They give each other tours outside the speaker's office. They take cheerful selfies and they smile. They're not destroying the Capitol. They obviously revere the Capitol. They're there because they believe the election was stolen from them. They believe in the system. Here's the man you've heard referred to as the QAnon shaman outside the Senate chamber. These are not rioters. These are people who wandered over from a political rally.
We will not let them silence your voices.
After the rally, they walked down Pennsylvania Avenue, where organizers had secured a federal permit to hold a legal rally on the grounds of the Capitol.
I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard.
Once at the Capitol building, things began to get chaotic. Capitol police officers fired tear gas into the crowd. A few at the front of the herd broke windows. Someone opened the doors, and many hundreds of others just walked in.
We're going to make that the story.
Of course, they did make it the story. And at the center of it, the single most famous person arrested that day was a Navy veteran from Arizona called Jacob Chansley, often referred to as the QAnon shaman.
The so-called QAnon shaman.
QAnon shaman.
Someone named Q shaman.
Jacob Chansley became the face of January 6th, a dangerous conspiracy theorist dressed in outlandish costume who led the violent insurrection to overthrow American democracy. For these crimes, Chansley was sentenced to nearly 4 years in prison, far more time than many violent criminals now receive. What did Jacob Chansley do to receive this punishment? To this day, there is dispute over how Chansley got into the Capitol building. But according to our review of the internal surveillance video, it is very clear what happened once he got inside. Virtually every moment of his time inside the Capitol was caught on tape. The tapes show that Capitol Police never stopped Jacob Chansley. They helped him. They acted as his tour guides. Here's video of Chansley in the Senate chamber. Capitol police officers take him to multiple entrances and even try to open locked doors for him. We counted at least 9 officers who were within touching distance of unarmed Jacob Chansley. Not one of them even tried to slow him down. Chansley understood that Capitol police were his allies. Video shows him giving thanks for them in a prayer on the floor of the Senate. Watch.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving the inspiration needed to these police officers to allow us in this building.
Contrast the reality of what Jacob Chansley did in the Capitol building on January 6th, the indisputable facts recorded on video, some of which has never before been seen, with the depiction of Jacob Chansley that you've seen in the media for more than 2 years. He's a terrorist, they said. He should be killed.
Shoot him. Shoot him. Like, if it, you burst into the United States, if he was dressed like bin Laden, would you have shot him?
Shoot him. Shoot him. It makes you wonder, who are the violent extremists here? Not Jacob Chansley, and the video proves that. But you would never have known from the media coverage.
The people sitting in the chairs need to be sitting in a jail cell.
Chansley is in a jail cell. He's been there for months. If he was in fact committing such a grave crime, why didn't the officers who were standing right next to him place him under arrest? Until now, no one could even prove that even happened. But it did.
Yeah. Okay, there it is, man. Huh? Randy, come on in. Folks, look, look. Who told you that? And why should you believe him? I go back and forth with several people who didn't go there, who've watched the narrative, and I tell them over and over, you don't understand. I was there. I was there. I was an eyewitness. I was there. What's their response? Oh, yeah, but you haven't seen the video. Programming. Programming. The Constitution guarantees us the right to petition our government for a redress of grievances. And we did.
Amen.
And they lied about it, and they locked people up, and nothing happened. Still isn't nothing happened. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, yeah, you know, we know how to practice step one, you know, to tell people the truth, you know, it's because this is a battle for minds. Okay. It's a battle for the minds of the people. Okay. So we know all the game plan of evil. We understand it, but we have to keep speaking truth. That doesn't, our job is not only just to practice righteousness, but it's to speak the truth. Why? Because the coach, the words what we speak set in motion by frequency, by whatever God's design is, it sets in motion the future judgment and justice of what's the evil happened. So we have to wait on the day of the judgment. We have to do that. But coach, also we have to be willing to lead people out. You know, our next step is not just knowing, and that's not enough. We have to lead people out as a righteous believer. We have to give them a path onto righteousness instead of just saying, oh, that was a lie. Well, yeah, we're bringing people to that position. But then the next place is we got to practice what we preach. We have to be able to get them out of the darkness, get them out of the Babylon system.
That's right. So, that's right.
And if we're not equipped with truth and we don't practice it ourselves, all we're doing is spewing some words, Coach. So there's more to it than just talk. Talk is cheap. We got to act. It has to be action.
Okay, let me squeeze it down here. I want to get Adam in here, and I got something else I want to show you. So, Adam, as you come in here, Spencer, I want you to get number five ready for me, okay? Number five. Go ahead. Go ahead, Adam.
Thanks, Coach. I agree with everything that Randy said, but that's why your show is so important, Coach, because you're actually training people up to be doers and not to count on cowardly pastors who've been bought out by their 501c3s. That's the thing. The church is being led by cowards and people who are in idolatry to Israel. We need to be effective. And the only way we can do that is if we live out the gospel in our lives and do
it. Adam, it's the feminization of Christianity. A guy like me, they won't let anywhere near the pulpit. No. They'll let some softy come in there and talk about how much Jesus loves them and to love our neighbor and all that kind of stuff, right? That's what's going on.
Amen.
It's the feminization of the pulpit and of Christianity. Really? Really?
Thanks for this show, Coach.
Thanks. You ready for this one? Pull this one up here. Number five. Christian man with balls. Go ahead.
Separated you for this time. He saw you and he said, I need to separate this one. This one is different. This one's gonna make it. So he had to get in the way. He had to stop what the devil was trying to do in your life. He separated you from everyone else. It wasn't that everyone else separated themselves from you. He separated you from everyone else.
Welcome you guys, you understand that?
Why?
He separated you from the crowd.
He called you. And you've been wondering why all of this has been happening. This has happened because he set you apart for such a time as this so that he can use you for his honor and his glory.
If a man has no friends, pay attention. If a man has no friends or a very small circle, don't get it twisted. That is not a red flag. That's a man who has mastered himself. A man without friends or a very small circle is a very secure man. He's learned that quality matters more than quantity. He doesn't need an audience to validate his worth. His confidence comes from inside,
not from the approval of others. He's not afraid to be alone because he knows his own strength. He is very selective with his energy and who he lets into his life. That is a good quality to have. He walks away from drama and gossip because he has built a peaceful life, and he does not want to let that peace go. He doesn't need people around him to feel complete. He's comfortable, grounded, and steady. He doesn't waste time on meaningless relationships. He knows what he wants, and he doesn't waste time with anything else. So if you meet a man with very few friends or a small circle, don't underestimate him. That is not loneliness, that is discipline. And he knows peace. It's not isolation, it is self-mastery. And men like that, they're the hardest ones to replace.
The donkey told the tiger, "The grass is blue." The tiger replied, "No, the grass is green." The discussion became heated, and the two decided to submit the issue to arbitration. And to do so, they approached the lion. Before reaching the clearing in the forest where the lion was sitting on his throne, the donkey started screaming, "Your Highness, isn't it true that the grass is blue?" The lion replied, "True. The grass is blue." The donkey rushed forward and continued, "The tiger disagrees with me and contradicts me and annoys me. Please punish him." The king then declared, "The tiger will be punished with 5 years of silence." The donkey jumped with joy and went on his way, content and repeating, "The grass is blue." The tiger accepted his punishment, but he asked the lion, "Your Majesty, why have you punished me? After all, the grass is green." The lion replied, "In fact, the grass is green." The tiger asked, "So why do you punish me?" The lion replied, "That has nothing to do with the question of whether the grass is blue or green. The punishment is because it is not possible for a brave, intelligent creature like you to waste time arguing with a donkey, and on top of that to come and bother me with that question." Morale. The worst waste of time is arguing with the fool and fanatic who doesn't care about truth or reality, but only the victory of his beliefs and illusions.
It's written, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 46:10. That verse stopped being scripture. It became lifestyle. Stillness turned into strategy. Waiting turned into warfare. Faith turned into fire. The world won't recognize you, and that's exactly how heaven wants it. Because you're not meant to fit in. You're meant to remind. Remind the broken that survival is holy. Remind the doubters that silence is not surrender. Remind the lost that even exile is part of the plan. You are the sermon now. You are the message made flesh. You're not reading the story. You're becoming the verse others will quote in their own battles. Brother, so let them stare. Let them wonder. Let them whisper that you've changed. You'll just smile because you know the truth. When God finishes building a man, he makes him look nothing like what he's been through. You don't carry pain anymore. You carry prophecy. Every scar is an instruction manual for the next generation. Every fall became a blueprint for those still crawling. You are living testimony. The living proof that fire purifies more than it burns. And now, brother, when you step into rooms, the atmosphere shifts. Not because of your name, but because of your spirit. Heaven recognizes what it created. The world won't. But that's the point. Because when God finishes building you, you're not meant to be recognized. You're meant to be revealed.
Amen. Let's go. Put that in the chat. Huh?
That's a boom. Boom, boom, boom.
You feel why you don't fit in? You don't fit in because you won't play those. I won't play those stupid games. I won't play those stupid games. And ask yourself this. Is church, Mr. Fit In? Huh? Going to church, just fit in, sit in the pew, shut your mouth, Don't make waves. Pay your tithes. See you next week. But, Pastor, they're murdering babies. Oh, I know. I know, but we can't do anything about it. Was the separation between the church and state. But anyway, Jesus is coming, brother. Jesus is coming. See you tomorrow.